This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire for Monday, November 29th. I hope everybody had a tremendous Thanksgiving break. Kids are back at school today. Parents back at work. The in-laws are gone. Everybody back to the usual grind. And boy, do we have a lot of sports to talk on this beautiful, beautiful Monday morning in Southern California. I actually thought about opening the podcast with the Lincoln Riley USC news. As you guys know, usually I talk to Cowherd on Sundays, and hit the first words out of his mouth, I think Lincoln Riley's bigger than any NFL story today, he said to me yesterday. And I was a little stunned. And, you know, you think about it, and Lincoln Riley is a big move leaving Oklahoma for USC. Significant. We'll do a little bit on it a little bit later. It's a big story, and the ramifications are massive, and the trickle down, and what are the dominoes to fall. But I can't get over what happened in Green Bay. The Green Bay Packers essentially stake claim that they are now the best team in the NFL with an impressive Favre butt kicking of Sean McVay's Rams off a bye. And I don't know really if there's any other way around this. Like, there's no dominant team in the AFC. We can all agree. Like, the Ravens are the number one seed now. They ain't the number one seed. The Patriots are rolling. They're not formidable. The Bills, we'll see. They got a huge game, Patriots-Bills this week. And you look at the NFC, and it's pretty clear that's where the dominant teams are. Six teams in the NFC, 500 or better. All of them have at times been very dominant. In the AFC, you've got 12. Parity reigns in the AFC. But in the NFC, really, it's the old guys. No Country for Old Men. Gosh, I've savaged that movie so many times on podcasts, on my old radio show that I used to do. People love that movie. I think it's Coen Brothers did that. And I like the first 45 minutes, first hour, so riveting. No Country for Old Men. Amazing. And then it goes off the rails. I mean, I can do a spoiler alert about a movie that's like 15 years old, right? When they killed who I thought was the main character, without even showing his death, you know, they kill him in that hotel room and they're like, they show the Mexican guy speeding off. And it's like, what? We don't even get to see the lead guy in the movie go out. I thought that was awful. So disappointing. Now, right there, I checked out. And then, you know, the final like 30 minutes kind of peter out and tried to get all artsy. I didn't love it, personally. First hour was unbelievable. Probably top 10 movie I've seen in the first. It was no like American Pie in the first hour. It was not really Vanilla Sky. Yes, I went there in the first hour, which is off the charts good. And it still holds up pretty good. At any rate, I think without question, we've got the Green Bay Packers, the best team in the NFL, and the Tampa Bay Bucks are right behind him. And it seems like we're going to get a rematch in the NFC Championship game. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. I mean, the way the Packers are winning these games, like Aaron Jones is hurt. Okay, we'll put in Dylan. And how does he do? Great. He can catch passes out of the backfield. He runs people over. It's like a 240-pound bowling ball with good hands and good feet. The guy's a stud. And remember how bad the Packers were beat up for drafting him over a receiver? Turns out it was a pretty decent pick. And Aaron Rodgers did not practice all week. Didn't practice. He's got the toe. His left tackle, down for the season. Bakhtiari, his all-pro left tackle, who hasn't played a game yet this year, had another surgery. He's going to be down for a little bit more. No big deal. Aaron Rodgers comes in, carves up the Rams defense, which is not nearly as good as it was last year. 307 yards, 6.8 yards per attempt, 2 touchdowns. You know, they get 92 on the ground. Davante Adams has his way with Jalen Ramsey. Yes, he did, folks. I don't care what you want to say. I know there's a lot of Ramsey lovers out there. Ramsey, while matched up with Adams, Adams caught 5 passes on 5 targets for 41 yards. Just beat him. And then Ramsey, of course, capping his rough day by losing in space to 37-year-old Aaron Rodgers at the goal line on you know, it was a kind of a big play. And overall, the Packers are just dominant, folks. They can beat you in so many ways, and I'm just going to remind you, their best defensive player, Jaire Alexander, still not back yet. Still not back. 21 first downs, held the ball for 39 minutes, explosive pass plays. Rodgers not practicing. Like, what is there left to say about this Packers team? 9-3, 5-0 at home, have not lost at home. Teams they've beaten who currently have a winning record. 49ers, Bengals, Cardinals, and now Rams. And it gets a little easier the next week against the Bears. And then, of course, there's the massive game against the Ravens. Although, I don't know how massive that is. I'll get to the Ravens shortly. I don't think they're as dominant as their record indicates. And then the Packers still have Browns, Vikings, and Lions. But Green Bay right now is dominant. And it's just one of those delicious stories in sports where everybody wins. If you have a podcast, you're going to win. If you write about the NFL, you're going to win. If you talk about it on a radio show, TV show, any capacity, the Aaron Rodgers saga going from, I want out of here, I hate you guys, you lied to me, you would not listen to me, trade me, I don't like it, I don't trust you. Like, the offseason was all about the Aaron Rodgers drama. He's going to end up in Denver. No, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to end up in Denver. He's going to end up in Miami. No, Aaron Rodgers is going to, this is the game we did for months. And Aaron Rodgers ends up staying in Green Bay. And they lose the opener 38-3 to the Saints, which feels like it happened 2 years ago. And since then, they have been completely dominant. Lost to the Chiefs without Rodgers because of the COVID. And then lost a game to the Vikings last week, which, I guess I should have learned my lesson. You can't win significant money betting against Aaron Rodgers. Won last week. This week, not so much betting against Aaron Rodgers. But we can sit here and hem and haw and say, well, the Packers, they're not killing teams. They didn't kill the Steelers, but they covered. They didn't totally kill the Lions. They let them hang around for three quarters. They really didn't put away Washington. Washington had all those drives where they imploded in the red zone. We could sit here and make excuses, guys, or we can just be real. The Green Bay Packers have probably the MVP in Aaron Rodgers. They've got a defense that's playing really well despite missing their best player. They got two good running backs, one healthy. The offensive line just continues to churn out winners. Matt LaFleur, I'm not a huge LaFleur guy. They dropped the stat that he's never lost back-to-back games in the regular season. I know he's got Aaron Rodgers, and that makes life a lot easier, but at some point, we've got to give the guy a little bit of credit, right? Now, a quick word on the Rams, who, as you guys know, they're not my team, obviously. I'm a Jets guy. But when you move to a new city, as we did out here to LA 5 years ago, almost six, you just kind of take a team under your wing. And the Rams happened to get McVay. They happened to get Goff. They happened to get Gurley. And they quickly ascended. They went to a Super Bowl while we were out here. So it's easy to kind of root for the local team. Went to some Rams games at the Coliseum, now at SoFi. And I don't know what to make of this team all of a sudden. I really felt confident. I had them in the contest. By the way, went 3-2 in the contest. 1 week down, 1 week up. Can't get consistent. But I don't know. I know they're missing Cam Akers. They really miss Robert Woods. People aren't going to talk about that a lot because it's like Robert Woods, your number two receiver, who just is such a great blocker. On the outside, and he's good with the gadget plays, wide receiver screens. And if you notice, Cooper Kupp's numbers have gone down dramatically. And what does that coincide with? The loss of Robert Woods. Yeah, I kind of think there's probably something there. And then, of course, we have to get to Matt Stafford, who is getting savaged this morning, as he should. You go three straight games with pick sixes, and the knives are coming out. The honeymoon is over out here in LA. I don't know, guys. I'm a little. I'm not ready. Listen, you can't kill a guy after one performance. Stafford clearly is banged up, but this is three straight games. He's not been great. I'm not going to give the defense a pass because they were just de-pantsed by Rodgers all afternoon. Did whatever he wanted. Anytime it was third down, it just felt like it was automatic that Rodgers was going to convert it until late in the game where they kind of went to sleep and the Rams had a bit of a chance. But LA basically had two big plays, a big third down touchdown pass to Van Jefferson, which kept them in the game. When they were on the verge of getting blown out. And then they had the 54-yarder to Odell, his first touchdown in, 14 months? And other than that, they didn't do a whole hell of a lot. I saw a stat that they had 6 drives with no first downs, and I'm a McVay guy, but coming out of a bye, when you've got 2 weeks to prepare for a banged-up defense, you got 2 weeks to incorporate Odell, a little disappointed with the game plan from McVay. But again, this comes down to Stafford. Fumbles in his own end on their second series, basically hands him a touchdown. So now you get the ball back, and it's 4th-and-1 at your own 29. You're like, oh, we could do this. We could pick up a yard. Yeah, sure you can. I would do the same thing. And they fail. And then, you know, you get handing over free points. Stafford with the pick 6. It's tough to be a Rams fan right now. And it feels like so recently that the Rams and Chargers were hot, hot, hot. Not doing anything on the Chargers today, but holy hell, Justin Herbert was terrible. He was awful. I mean, Eckler dropping passes. The Denver Broncos defense looks resurgent. As soon as Bridgewater went out of that game, I instantly bet the Chargers getting points. And I was like, oh, this is great. Drew Lock is awful. Drew Lock throws a horrible interception. He's just not a good quarterback. And the Chargers, the door's open, and the Broncos defense keeps stepping up and making plays. I think I saw that they hit Justin Herbert 10 times. So now Herbert, who was like an MVP guy a month ago, is probably not looking at a playoff spot this year. That's how far they've fallen. And Stafford has now gone 3 straight games with pick sixes. So the LA team's falling on hard times. But, you know, you could argue that that's kind of happening throughout the league, is it not? Everybody other than the Packers has gone through some kind of mid-season downturn. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie. There was this movie Jennifer Aniston was in with Ed Burns and a couple other kind of big-name actors in the 90s. And I happened to be dating a girl at the time who was like a huge Ed Burns fan. So she got me into this movie. And the guy, I'm going to pull up his name here in a second, but the guy kept referring to their marital problems as down cycles. And it's pretty funny. He's a funny actor. He's been in a lot of Ed Burns movies. And that term down cycle, I'd never really heard, but every team in the NFL this season has gone through a down cycle with the exception of the Packers. That's the only team that they've been impervious to it. And why is that? Well, it probably a lot has to do with Aaron Rodgers. The guy is just a superstar. I think he's got to be the MVP now, regardless of what you guys want to say. The media has to vote for him. They've got to put aside the whole COVID thing. Oh, he lied to us. He can't be. No, look at his play, okay? By the movie. By the way, the name of the movie is She's the One. 1996, really, really good 90s movie. Ed Burns had some other good actors in there. I highly recommend it. The late John Mahoney is his dad. Michael McGlone is the one who keeps referencing a down cycle. Cameron Diaz, Leslie Mann, and then this very attractive brunette, Maxine Bonds. I don't know if she's been in a lot of other stuff, but at any rate, check it out. She's the one. Highly recommended. Everybody's been through a down cycle this season, except the Packers. Outside of Green Bay, I thought, you know, the Tampa Bay Bucks, incredible win over the Colts, which was a huge win for me gambling-wise. I just love what I saw from Tampa. And it reminded me, do you guys remember when Leonard Fournette was like done? He was toast? An afterthought? It was like he was dumped in Jacksonville and like nobody wanted Leonard Fournette. Oh, well, this guy was a top 5 pick, but running back, they don't matter. This guy stinks. Work ethic, everything. I mean, Leonard Fournette was the best running back on the field Sunday, head-to-head with Jonathan Taylor. And yes, I'll get to why the Colts mismanaged him, but I just want to let you guys know, Fournette was incredible. That was essentially the Fournette game. The more I watched it, I almost wondered if Arians and Brady wanted to send a message. Hey, I know you guys have Jonathan Taylor, and your offensive line's getting all the pub, but we got a guy, Fournette. 17 for 100, averaged more yards per carry than Taylor. 3 touchdowns on the ground. Oh, yeah, 7 catches, 31 yards, and a touchdown. He was great. Leonard Fournette looked like the guy who helped carry Jacksonville to the AFC title game that year, where they faced the Patriots and nearly had them beat. And, of course, Gronkowski, who just looks like a polar bear, battling the secondary of the Colts, just pinballing off guys. Gronk is just unbelievable. Evans did like nothing. Godwin was really not a huge factor. It was the Gronk Brady Fournette show. What are we going to do when this guy gets Antonio Brown back? Like, this team is going to be nasty. Now, the defense did struggle. Carson Wentz struggled at the outset. You could realize that they didn't really trust him. They didn't want him to screw the game up. 3-0 lead after a quarter. And then the second quarter, Carson Wentz uncorks a bomb to a guy I honestly have never heard of, Ashton Doolin. 62-yard touchdown, his only target. I'd never heard of the name before. And that kind of opened the floodgates. And there was a couple injuries to the Bucs. Dean went down. I don't know if he returned. I'll have to check that. That was a big loss. They briefly lost Devin White. He did come back. But the secondary of Tampa is a little leaky. And I know that the Packers defense gets a lot of knocks on it. But I'll tell you right now, the Tampa defense is worse. Carson Wentz looked great for a half. And then, and this is where it gets a little controversial. I know Colts fans are very worked up about this, but for whatever reason, they went away from what was working in the first half, and they went exclusively to the air in the third quarter. Well, do you want to take a guess what happened? Carson Wentz kind of imploded. He got sacked, and he fumbled. And then he threw an interception. Great play by Winfield. And it was like, you're up 10 at the half. You abandon the run completely. They had one rush attempt in the third quarter. I think I heard a stat on the broadcast where they had 25 straight plays where they did not run the football. And I wrote about this for Fox, this game. I said, this is going to be a Carson Wentz game. With Nelson hurt, they're going to put this in the air. Now, I didn't think that Wentz would attempt 44 passes. But what had to kill Colts fans was after they fall behind, blowing the 10-point lead, they say, oh, we got to go back to Taylor to start the fourth quarter. And they hand it to him, and he goes right down the field looking like Taylor. And, of course, the broadcast, and they kept showing this jabroni in the stands wearing a hat that says, run the damn ball. And they get back in it, but they ultimately could not stop Tom Brady, who delivered. And Fournette gets a cover with a late touchdown run when all they needed was a field goal to ice it. So I was thrilled. That was a great game. I'll tell you right now, Green Bay and Tampa are the best two teams in the league. I just don't see how anyone could argue that. Outside of those two, though, you know, it wasn't an amazing Sunday in the NFL. There weren't any, like, huge upsets, which leads me to my Survivor update. And I know you guys care a lot about this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Enter the Survivor League. I don't put the details online because you never know who's listening. Or watching. 2,468 people entered this pool at $50 a pop. So you could, you know, the decent money on the line. You could do the math. There are 30 people left. I'm one of them. And a lot of people, I think 10 people had Philadelphia. I guess they didn't listen to our podcast on Friday where with the bookmaker, and we were just like, yeah, this is a bad spot for the Eagles. And the Eagles lost outright. Now, they did have a chance to win that game. Jalen Reagor, two brutal drops. Oh, my gosh. Can't believe they took that guy over Justin Jefferson. Anyways, two bad drops by Reagor. Eagles lose. So there's only 30 people left in the pool. Now, this week, there are 7 games, guys, with a spread of a touchdown or more. I only have one of those teams I haven't used in Survivor. It's the Eagles. And I actually like the Eagles spot. I'm not going to dive deep. I don't love the Eagles as a 7-point favorite. Remember, they were favorites in Vegas, lost. They were favorites in New York, lost. It's a big number, but all they got to do is win this damn game. They don't need to cover for me. They just got to win. Jalen Hurts, 3 picks. And it's funny because the narrative Sunday morning was, Jalen Hurts playing well. We're definitely looking at a guy who could cement the quarterback job. Eagles don't need a quarterback. I mean, Jalen Hurts, he's not the long-term solution. We try so hard to talk ourselves into keeping these quarterbacks. Like, you know, Miami fans right now are like, oh, we got Tua. He's playing well. They've won 4 or 5 in a row. And Tua, 80% completions. And they get all excited. Like, okay, fair enough. Think he's the guy. Whatever's going to make you sleep well at night. He ain't the guy. Just as Jalen Hurts is not the guy. 3 picks. He did drive them into Giants territory, plenty. But he threw an interception at the 5-yard line, 1 in the end zone. They failed on downs at the Giants 40. Boston Scott fumbled in Giants territory, and then Hurts had the incompletions, the drops by Reagor inside the 5-yard line in the final seconds. So by my count, they had 6 drives into Giants territory, and they got 7 points. Like, I think most people will see Eagles lose. Oh my gosh, Hurts stinks. This team is garbage, and they're going to shy away. Well, guess what happened first thing Sunday night? Eagles were bet up from 6.5 to 7. Now, I couldn't even get 6.5, but that was the first bet I made Sunday night. Eagles 7. It showed up 6.5 in the desert, but you've got to like be physically at the casino to get it. So you see that, and then, of course, the other books, offshore, local guys, open up at 7. So I got a bite of the Eagles at 7. It is a big number, and they're almost certainly going to be my survivor play. The other big spreads, Minnesota against the Lions. I used them. Remember when they got lucky against the Lions at home? Now they go on the road. Arizona, the return of Kyler Murray, big favorites in Chicago. I've already used them. Tampa, big favorites in Atlanta. KC, big favorites at home against Denver. Indy at home. At Houston. And the Rams are huge favorites against Jacksonville. But again, I've used like all those teams. This is what makes Survivor so interesting. I'm going to quickly go a couple other notes. I took more notes than normal. So we were out of town like twice for Thanksgiving week. I'm sure you guys follow me on the gram. You saw we were in, we went down to Palm Springs for a couple days. And I specifically told the wife, like, listen, I got to be back early Sunday for NFL. And I know there's going to be a ton of traffic on Thanksgiving weekend Sunday. So I'm sorry. We either drive 2 cars or we all leave super early, like 7:30 in the morning. She's like, 2 cars. So I woke up, quick shower, jump in the car, on the road, 2 hours back. All our other friends who left later in the day, like 3 hours, 3.5, 3:45. Yeah. I had to watch NFL. So I get home. House all quiet, watching NFL. So I have tons of notes here. I'm impressed with this 49ers win streak. They're kind of rebounding. I think the Jimmy G story is probably a good subplot this week. He's going to get them to the playoffs in the NFC. He is. And what do you do? Haven't heard Trey Lance's name for a few weeks, right? Jimmy G's playing well. He's not carrying them. I mean, Deebo Samuel was incredible again for my fantasy team. Thank you. Until he got hurt. Elijah Mitchell had 133 rushing yards. They do these clock-chewing drives where it's like 8 minutes later, we'll kick a field goal. Or 10 minutes later, we scored. I mean, that just wears down defenses. Shanahan's doing a great job. But again, Jimmy G is really pulling all the strings on that offense. I mean, imagine they scored, let me see how many points they scored on the Vikings. They scored 34 points on the Vikings, and George Kittle has 1 catch for 13 yards. That's pretty impressive. What happens when they start working Kittle into the mix? You know, I like this Niners team. I have futures on them to win the Super Bowl. That's probably a little ambitious given all the defensive injuries. I like the cut of this Niners jib right now. I'm not going to talk much about the Patriots today. Mac Jones, another game with no turnovers, pretty impressive win. The Tennessee Titans stink out loud right now, guys. I mean, they're very, very bad at football. They have 9 turnovers in the last 2 weeks. No A.J. Brown, no Julio Jones, no Derrick Henry. They had 2 guys. One of them is Foreman, who you know, I think he went to Texas, and the other guy, Hilliard. They had 240 yards rushing combined, and they still got their butts kicked. In New England, 36-13. Tennessee's just not good at football right now, guys. They're not. It's comical that this is a playoff team because I can almost guarantee you they're going to be underdogs in the playoffs. Now, the Colts still have an outside chance to catch them, but they beat the Colts twice. I don't know. If this was college football, given, you know, the playoff situation, there's nobody that would vote the Titans into the playoffs. They don't look like a good football team right now. They're not the same. And speaking of running back injuries, Christian McCaffrey in a walking boot. Not good. He had like 35 yards in fantasy. Whoop-de-damn-do. Dalvin Cook, injured. Looked pretty bad. Shoulder injury. The entire Vikings sideline was like devastated for the guy. He carted off. Running backs, just, you know, what's Todd Gurley doing? Is he working for Amazon? I thought I saw him deliver me a package on my Ring doorbell recently. It's like, what has happened to them? You can't really trust any running back. They're all getting hurt. And McCaffrey's just so disappointing. I mean, always hurt. Now, Cordarrelle Patterson is the guy. Hope you have him in fantasy. He was incredible. One of the coolest stats I saw Sunday. The Atlanta Falcons were the last team in the NFL to get a 20-yard carry. Cordarrelle Patterson had one against Miami. Their longest carry before that had been 18 yards. That's embarrassing. Nice win for the Falcons. I was going to do something on the Steelers and Big Ben stinking, but I feel like we've covered that ad nauseum. Big Ben looked slow, looked old, late pick six. They got pummeled. The Bengals outscored the Steelers 65-20 in two meetings this season. 65-20. Bengals look like they're headed to the playoffs. I guess the last note, this Cleveland Browns team, man. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, guys. Schedule's tough. Baker's hurt. How do you not win when Lamar Jackson throws four interceptions? They have a bye week now, the Browns, and then they play the Ravens again, which will probably just seal their fate. But the Browns have lost 5 of 8 games after that 3-1 start. It all started with the Chargers game, which I was at out here in LA. Wild, wild stuff, but disappointing from the Browns. All right, let's quickly go to college football and the Lincoln Riley move. So this was the interesting thing when I asked a couple of people about this. Like, how did this happen so quickly? Because Lincoln Riley was not in the mix for this job 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. No mention of his name since the firing of Clay Helton. He was not on any, like, watch list. Now, he was mentioned a lot to LSU. He specifically said, I'm not going to be the next coach there. But he didn't address anything about USC. So this is apparently what happened. Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma in Bedlam, right? And it's clear at this point, the Sooners have no chance at the college football playoff. So now, Lincoln Riley's like, huh, we're not going to the playoff. We're starting to head toward the SEC. I'm not going to have much of a chance to win in the SEC at Oklahoma. Like, we've got good talent, but I can't hang with... I'm not recruiting at the level of playing LSU, Alabama, Auburn. No way. And I don't know if Lincoln Riley put the bug out there or USC just said, let's try a Hail Mary. But apparently it came together extremely fast from Saturday night to Sunday. And it was a done deal in like 24 hours. And the worst part is, I mean, Oklahoma fans, I don't know many of them. But online, they are just absolutely at rock bottom. And what do you know? Some of the great recruits that Oklahoma had lined up are already like decommitting. And now Lincoln Riley's calling them to stay in California and go to USC. And I don't know how anybody could hate this move for Lincoln Riley. Like, is he afraid of the SEC? No. But you're not on a level playing field. Like, Oklahoma's not recruiting against LSU and Florida and Auburn and it is just not. Can they get great classes? Of course they can. Yes, no doubt, no doubt. Playing in the Big 12. Yeah, it's one thing to play Baylor and Oklahoma State and Texas. It's another to face the teams in the SEC. And I think Lincoln Riley made a great move. He's going to be a king at USC. Total domination. Are they going to get back to Pete Carroll levels? I don't know. Come on. Takes a lot for that to happen, but I wouldn't rule it out. And the best part is, once they expand the playoff here shortly, USC is going to be in there practically every year. We don't know how long Mario Cristobal is for Oregon. But, you know, Chip Kelly sounds like him and UCLA probably not sticking together. I don't know how UCLA raises the roof on this. Rob G will be back tomorrow, and I'm sure he will be just, oof. His Raiders pick up a massive win on Thanksgiving, but he gets a kick in the teeth with USC getting Lincoln Riley. I mean, Lincoln Riley, you know, 6 years ago, was he anybody special? No, but Bob Stoops leaves. They handpick Riley to be the guy. And all he does is the Baker Mayfield, the Kyler Murray, the Spencer Rattler, the this new kid, the freshman this year. He's a good coach. Now, who replaces Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma was funny because, and listen, I'm not going to bag on this guy. I know him. We're friendly, but Adam Schefter has stepped in it a lot recently, and he put out this tweet that a candidate to replace Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma has to be Cliff Kingsbury of the Arizona Cardinals, who only has 1 year left on his deal. Well, you know how that sausage gets made, right? Cliff Kingsbury's agent has no leverage at all for Kingsbury to get an extension in Arizona. Have you made the playoffs? No. Do you have a playoff win? No. Why are we paying you more? Can you get to the playoffs and maybe win a game? Like, what if you flop in the first round? You know, if you don't get the number one seed and you have to play in the first round and you lose at home, are we sure you're the guy? I mean, Arizona would like him to be the guy, obviously, but I think at this point we can all agree that, like, Cliff Kingsbury has left something to be desired despite some really nice wins this season. He has no leverage to go in and ask for more money because of a couple regular season wins, guys. Sorry. So what does his agent do? Goes to Schefter and says, hey, Oklahoma, they know offense. They could just call up Cliff Kingsbury. But why? Because he had an under 500 record in college football as a head coach? Come on. You think Cliff Kingsbury's leaving Arizona in the NFL, where he's currently the number one seed in the NFC with the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray, and he's going to go to Norman, Oklahoma? I don't think so. There's no chance. But, you know, if you're the agent, that's your job. Plant that with Schefter. Now, I would say 0.0% of Kingsbury leaving the Cardinals. You don't leave a good NFL. Didn't Mike Tomlin cover this? Like, I'm with the Steelers. Why the hell am I leaving for USC? Like, get a clue. Cliff Kingsbury's winning in Arizona. They were good last year. Just missed the playoffs. Bit of a Cliff meltdown. He's not leaving. I heard Brent Venables. I saw some stuff about Dave Aranda from Baylor, who's been really, really good. I think Matt Campbell probably makes the most sense. Although it is kind of weird how he's underachieved this year. They've been ascending. You know, they're the stock that you keep hearing is hot, 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 and it just keeps inching up, but it hasn't really popped. Nobody would say Campbell's not a good coach. It's just like, I think there's more buzz than actual product on the field so far. It's not like it's been bad. It just hasn't been as good as we keep hearing. But I think the guy to watch is probably the defensive coordinator, Grinch. It's funny, Grinch, Christmas coming up, haha. But the way things shook out from Stoops to Riley, the continuity was great. I just don't know if Grinch is highly thought of in the building as Riley was. Grinch being a defensive guy, we know college football, offense sells tickets. I don't even know if you'd say defense wins championships, but we'll see. Grinch, Campbell, Aranda, it'll be interesting. Listen, that's not a job we're going to spend a ton of time on, but it was just a fascinating move by Riley. And now guys are tripping over themselves to put out stats like Los Angeles now has three incredible football coaches under the age of 40. McVay, Brandon Staley, who, by the way, is not going to the playoffs, and Lincoln Riley. Like, I know we want to crown guys and all that, but McVay's actually been to a Super Bowl. I definitely have to check, but I don't think Brandon Staley, who's a rookie head coach, is yet in the amazing category. And let's be realistic. Like, Lincoln Riley has done some really, really, really good things. And he's been great as a big fish in a small pond. I don't know if the Pac-12 is as small of a pond, and the spotlight's not going to be on him out here in L.A., given everything else that's going on with the Rams and the Chargers and LeBron and the Lakers, and even when Kawhi gets back with the Clippers. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Riley, but I think he's probably going to crush it. I think that's a safe bet. I got to quickly just give a shout out to Jim Harbaugh for beating Ohio State. I feel I've felt, I know Harbaugh's kind of douchey and a lot of people don't like him and he's a little socially awkward and some of these interviews he gives just, he comes off as, oh gosh, this guy's terrible. He's insufferable. But the thing I like about him is everywhere he goes, he wins. Everywhere. He turns Stanford into a powerhouse. I know they've fallen on hard times, but Harbaugh set the table there. Goes to San Francisco, makes Colin Kaepernick a king, and takes the 49ers within one play of the Super Bowl. Goes to Michigan, wins 10 games. Well, he hasn't beaten Ohio State. He can't beat Michigan State. I did that Dan Patrick show Friday with Rob Parker, and Rob Parker's just killing Harbaugh the whole time. I'm like, the guy's winning 10 games in half his seasons. And they tried to run him out of town. He takes a pay cut and stays. Why are we hating Harbaugh? Like, the guy's having success. He just has to win, beat Ohio State. And guess what? He won as a 7-point dog at home. You have to feel good for Harbaugh, right? Now they're, and we'll talk about it in Best Bet here shortly, but they're considerable favorites to win the Big Ten championship against Iowa. And if that happens, I don't know how you keep Michigan out of the playoff. The only way it gets a little dicey, if Alabama beats Georgia, you get Georgia's obviously in. Alabama, if they beat the number one team, I think they're going to get in. I think Cincinnati's a lock. And then what becomes of Michigan or Oklahoma State? And if you're just doing like the blind resume test, you know, Oklahoma State's got a decent resume. It's good. But from a star power perspective, keep an eye on Notre Dame on the outside lurking. We know the clout Notre Dame has. I think Michigan would be good for college football, but their brand of football is not visually appealing. I mean, they just run the football ad nauseum, 3 yards in a cloud of dust on repeat. And I don't mind it. It's definitely not for this generation. People aren't going to be like, hey, Michigan, Georgia. Like, I think you got to give Michigan the 2 seed, right? And they would, I can't imagine Michigan being the 4 seed. They did lose to Sparty, but I mean, I would personally like to see Cincinnati get the 3 so they don't have to get crushed by Georgia in the opening round. But my money says Michigan probably going to be the 2 or the 3. And they're going to have a chance to play for the Natty. I don't think they'll have a chance to beat Georgia, but it's not like Georgia could get separation. This is a wacky year in college football. Just, I'm very excited for championship weekend, which we'll get to here in Best Bet shortly.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
All right, let's do a quick best bet here on Straight Fire for Monday Night Football. It's a good game, not a great game. Washington and Seattle. Seattle's in major disarray, but I saw a funny stat, and because of the 17-game season now, basically, nobody's out of playoff contention until the very, very end. Seattle's like 1 game away from being 1 game away. So if they pull off the win tonight, you know, Seattle's back in the mix. And this is kind of a good spot for Seattle, right? Nobody wants them. Nobody's backing them here. Everybody's betting on Washington. Seattle opened as a favorite. Then it swung to Washington. Now it's back toward Pick'em. My only real interest in this game is Taylor Heinicke. I started him in fantasy this week over Derek Carr because I'm an idiot, I guess. Derek Carr had 23. I would have already had the victory. This is my kind of big-ish money league. And so I got to get like 12 points from Taylor Heinicke, which is not a lot, but I mean, we're talking about Taylor Heinicke, folks. You know, the Seattle defense is no great shakes at all. Colt McCoy ran up and down the field against him, but there's a divisional familiarity there. You know, Taylor Heinicke, I don't know if you can trust him to do anything right. My son needs Terry McLaurin in a league. I need a decent game from McLaurin in another one. So I have a lot of fantasy implications. Frankly, I would almost rather save my money for college football championship weekend. There are some real tasty games this weekend. I don't know. If you said, Jay, you know, hey, I got $100. Who do you want to put it on? You're not going to like this, folks, but I would take Seattle. And this is a talk coming from a guy who lost on Seattle last week against Arizona. I thought Seattle was a slam dunk coming off getting shut out. And, you know, you'll hear all the silly narratives that, oh, Washington's getting back in the mix in the NFC. The Eagles lost. Cowboys lost. Washington gets a win here and things get interesting. Pete Carroll not going to USC, obviously staying at Seattle for the time being. The Seattle situation with Russell Wilson, if you read some stuff in the Seattle media this week, or like I guess Thanksgiving week, it seems like there's some unhappiness there. There's nobody's on the same page. It just doesn't seem like it's going well. But again, this is Washington. This is not a great defense. They've been run up and down the field on. Pass defense is very suspect. I know they've played well the last 2 weeks, but what kind of sample size is that? So if you're asking me, I would just lay it. Russell Wilson, prime time, you know, coming off two losses. I don't think he's ever lost three games in a row in his career. This guy's a Hall of Fame star. Russell Wilson versus Taylor Heineke, really? Yeah, I would go Russell Wilson here. I do want to say, on the college football championship weekend, there's so many good games. Like the Oregon rematch against Utah is really interesting. Utah opened as a 3-point favorite. Money already coming in on the Ducks. Not a huge surprise there. The Oklahoma State Baylor game is really fascinating because Dave Aranda, as we talked about earlier, is a hot name connected to LSU, maybe connected to Oklahoma. Is his focus going to be on Oklahoma State? I don't know. Money coming in on Baylor. It's already come down from 6.5 to 5. Aranda's a really good coach. Mike Gundy worked magic with this team this year. I would look at Baylor, but as it comes down, you wonder if it's too far. Of course, the Georgia-Alabama game, nobody, absolutely nobody, betting Alabama here. Okay? When was the last time Nick Saban, nobody wanted anything to do with his team? Georgia from 4.5 to 6.5. Bryce Young, freshman quarterback, nearly lost in the Iron Bowl. Had some amazing throws late in that game. And in overtime, and now he's in his first SEC championship game. You always love the vibe and the pageantry around the SEC title game. I'm fired up for it this week. I know that's a lot more college football than normal on a Monday, but listen, this is what happens when the calendar turns to November. And of course, Iowa, Michigan. Michigan, 11-point favorites over Iowa. Now, listen, if you followed my backing of Iowa early in the season, it was all smoke and mirrors. They were getting so lucky with the turnovers, the opponents. This should be a Michigan bloodbath. And Jim Harbaugh should win big. But nothing ever comes easy for Harbaugh in a spot like this. So just be careful. Again, it's early in the week. We'll monitor all that stuff. It's going to be a fun week here on the pod. We'll talk to you tomorrow.